Aisha Green is from Kahuniki Heretanga and Ngai Tahu as well. She's got a Pākehā side like the rest of us. And also, this is her first solo exhibition at the Season Gallery here in Tamaki Makaurau. It's called Ruin on the Cascade. The title refers to a faux ruin in Stowe Gardens, a rambling landscape garden in Buckinghamshire, established in the early 18th century and studded with pseudo-antique sculptures and structures. The English landscape garden becomes a framework for exploring a range of subjects, including class, land use, national identity, scientific study, ethics, and British imperialism. Gee, that's a handful, isn't it, Aisha? How cool to have a cordial with you. Sister Tenakwe, my name's Dale. Thanks for joining us on Up to Two.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Hey, so cool. Good luck. I know that artists work very hard and often in isolation as they prepare for exhibitions. It's a really interesting sort of kaupapa ruin on the cascade. What's intrigued you about Stowe Gardens? Aisha, have you been there?
Yes, so I was lucky enough last year to spend sort of 2 or 3 months travelling around the UK, and particularly England, visiting all of these large, expansive English landscape gardens. And Stowe's really interesting because it's sort of one of the first English landscape gardens and it's sort of still intact. And the English landscape garden is really interesting when we sort of start to think about English sort of national identity and sort of how it sees itself and how it presents itself to the world. And, you know, a lot of my work is thinking about the relationship between Māori and Pākehā and what sort of how that relationship's come about in the past, but what that sort of means for like how we relate and understand each other today. And so for me, going back to England was kind of going back to the sort of source, I guess, in a way, to see like what, you know, where has this come from? I guess, you know, colonization, no one just sort of woke up one day and was like, I've got a good idea. It comes through kind of hundreds of years of sort of ideas and thinking. And I think the English landscape garden is sort of the perfect place, or it's a perfect symbol to kind of understand English imperialism. And I guess kind of like what I mean about that is that, you know, these large estates were owned by very like wealthy people. Like it was Lord Richard Temple who developed Stowe Garden into what it is today. And he used some of the best sort of English landscape designers. But a lot of these estates, they start off small and then they grow larger as the lords get wealthier, but they actually remove people as they do it. So in Stowe, for example, there was about 180 people living in a village there, and over time they were sort of removed from the land to make way for this large English landscape. So it's like why we kind of, you know, when we have all these sort of beautiful places and these landscapes, it kind of comes at the expense of people. And I think that's something that we can understand here in New Zealand as well. So I think for me, it's kind of understanding like, you know, England, all of its colonial ideas were first tested in England on kind of working class peasants, poor people. And it's sort of important to understand that, to understand where we are today and the things that we can do to kind of counteract sort of colonization and the ideas of colonization.
It's a really interesting thinking around that too. I mean, I guess you were drawn to them because you're a lover of gardens, and there's some spectacular examples if that's your thing. But to look at a garden and see issues of colonisation and British imperialism is a bit of a different take on gardens. Here's Ruin on the Cascade. Now tell us about the exhibition at Season, when it runs, and what form it takes. Are they all paintings and what sorts of paintings, Aisha?
Yeah, so the exhibition opens on the 1st of May at Seasons Gallery in Grey Lynn, and it runs until June. And yes, it's mainly paintings. I'm usually a painter, and I guess I say like a dabble in small sculpture. So there will be like a sculptural work as well. But really, I find like the reason I kind of am a painter is because I'm interested in like history painting and how, you know, painting was used to tell certain grand narratives about, you know, historical events and things, and kind of as a way to kind of, you know, I use painting as a way to tell a different kind of story or a different kind of version of those histories, the ones that, you know, we don't get to tell through those kinds of grand paintings. So there will be like, I think, oh my gosh, how many paintings? I think there's about 13 paintings and a sort of sculptural work, which should be okay. I think it's going to be okay.
I'm excited for you, and I know the amount of thinking and work that you've put in there. You've got this dual whakapapa, which all of us have, you know, connections to the old country as well. Is that easily identifiable in your works, or are there deliberate efforts to incorporate perhaps a colonised and coloniser perspective into the paintings that you'll present?
Yeah, I think so. I guess the way I sort of approach painting is that I want the work to give agency to Māori and for us to be telling our story. But in the way that I kind of paint, it's sort of using the tools of the Western world. So it's sort of, in a way, the work is for Māori, but it's also kind of used as a tool to tell different types of worldviews so that people who are non-Māori can also kind of engage in those worldviews in a way that makes them perhaps more comfortable. And that's just a way of kind of, you know, I really want to approach it where it's sort of talking as a way to bring people in, to bring people around. So there's kind of, it's kind of an approach of sort of love, really, in a way, which might sound strange, but I think that's kind of important for me. And like, I mean, my Pākehā ancestry goes back up to like Scotland. And I mean, that's an interesting history in itself in talking about English imperialism. So I think everything is always a bit more complicated and a bit more complex. And I think what, you know, I've learned from looking into Stowe Garden and understanding these English landscapes is that, you know, if we want to have this really robust kind of decolonial practice or like way of being in the world and changing the world, it's very intersectional. We have to think about all of those working class people that were sort of tested for ideas, the way they were cleared off their own land, and that how that happened in Scotland as well as in England and of course in Ireland. But also these people that own these massive garden estates, the way that they accumulated wealth was through the slave trade. So there's like so many things that come together to inform colonization. It's not just about, you know, the colonizer coming and settling. It's also about all the other tools that were in place to allow that to happen.
Gee, speak well of the kaupapa. It's an exhibition. While it's focused on gardens, there'll be a few foxgloves and sweet peas and lupins and cosmos. But it does touch on some very important elements of imperialism. And I hope you've enjoyed meeting for the first time Aisha Green from Kahunuki Heretanga and Ngai Tahu. 1st of May at the Season Gallery in Grey Lynn. Really neat to talk with you too. Thanks, Aisha, for sharing some time with us.
Oh,
Tēnā koe.